Penguin Random House Audio presents The Talismans of Shannara, Book 4 of The Heritage of Shannara, by Terry Brooks. Read for you by John Lee. Chapter 1. Dusk settled down about the four lands, a slow greying of light, a gradual lengthening of shadows. The swelter of the late summer's day began to fade as the sun's red fireball sank into the west and the hot, stale air cooled. The hush that comes with day's end stilled the earth, and leaves and grass shivered with expectation at the coming of night. At the mouth of the Myrmidon, where it emptied into the Rainbow Lake, Southwatch rose blackly, impenetrable and voiceless. The wind brushed the waters of the lake and river, yet did not approach the obelisk, as if anxious to hurry on to some place more inviting. The air shimmered about the dark tower, heat radiating from its stone in waves, forming spectral images that darted and flew. A solitary hunter at the water's edge glanced up apprehensively as he passed and continued swiftly on. Within, the Shadowen went about their tasks in ghostly silence, cowled and faceless and filled with purpose. Rimmer Dahl stood at a window looking out on the darkening countryside, watching the colour fade from the earth as the night crept stealthily out of the east to gather in its own. The night, our mother, our comfort. He stood with his hands clasped behind his back, rigid within his dark robes, cowl pulled back from his raw-boned, red-bearded face. He looked hard and empty of feeling, and had he cared, he would have been pleased. But it had been a long time since his appearance had mattered to the first seeker, a long time since he had bothered even to wonder. His outside was of no consequence. He could be anything he chose. What burned within mattered. That gave him life. His eyes glittered as he looked beyond what he was seeing to what one day would be, to what was promised. He shifted slightly, alone with his thoughts in the tower's silence. The others did not exist for him, wraiths without substance. Below, deep within the bowels of the tower, he could hear the sounds of the magic at work, the deep hum of its breathing, the rumble of its heart. He listened for it without thinking now, a habit that brought reassurance to his troubled mind. The power was theirs, brought from the ether into substance, given shape and form, lent purpose. It was the gift of the Shadowen, and it belonged to them alone, druids and others notwithstanding. He tried a faint smile, but his mouth refused to put up with it, and it disappeared in the tight line of his lips. His gloved left hand squirmed within the clasp of the bare fingers of his right. Power for power, strength for strength. On his breast, the silver wolf's head insignia glittered. Thrum, thrum, came the sound of the magic working down below. Rimmer Dahl turned back into the greyness of the room, a room that until recently had held Col Ohmsford prisoner. Now the Veil Man was gone. Escaped, he believed, but let go, in fact, and made prisoner another way. Gone to find his brother, Pa, the one with the real magic, the one who would be his. The first seeker moved away from the window and seated himself at the bare wooden table, the weight of his big frame causing the spindly chair to creak. His hands folded on the table before him and his craggy face lowered. All the Ohmsfords were back in the four lands, all the scions of Shannara, returned from their quests. Walker Bow had come back from Eldwist, despite Pael, the Black Elfstone regained, its magic fathomed, Paranor brought back into the world of men, and Walker himself become the first of the new druids. Ren Elessadil had come back from Morrowindle with Arbalon and the elves, the magic of the Elfstones discovered anew, her own identity and heritage revealed. Two out of three of Alanon's charges fulfilled, two out of three steps taken. Pars was to be the last, of course. Find the sword of Shannara, find the sword, and it will reveal the truth. Games played by old men and shades, Rimmer Dahl mused, charges and quests, searches for truth. Well, he knew the truth better than they, and the truth was that none of this mattered because in the end, the magic was all, and the magic belonged to the Shadowen. It grated on him that despite his efforts to prevent it, both the elves and Paranor were back. Those he had sent to keep the Shannara Scions from succeeding had failed. The price of their failure had been death, but that did little to assuage his annoyance. Perhaps he should have been angry, perhaps even a little worried. But Rimadal was confident in his power, certain of his control over events and time, assured that the future was still his to determine. Though Teal and Pael had disappointed him, there were others who would not. Thrum, thrum, the magic whispered. And so? Rimadal's lips pursed. A little time was all that was needed. A little time to let events he had already set in motion follow their course. And then it would be too late for the druid dead and their schemes. Keep the dark uncle and the girl apart. Don't let them share their knowledge. Don't let them join forces. Don't let them find the Veil Men. What was needed was a distraction, something that would keep them otherwise occupied, or better still, something that would put an end to them. Armies, of course, to grind down the elves and the freeborn alike, Federation soldiers and Shadowen creepers, and whatever else he could muster to sweep these fools from his life. But something more. Something special for the Shannara children with all their magics and druid charms. He considered the matter for a long time, the grey twilight changing to night about him. The moon rose in the east, a scythe against the black, and the stars brightened into sharp pinpricks of silver. Their glow penetrated the darkness where the first seeker sat and transformed his face into a skull. Yes, he nodded finally. The Dark Uncle was obsessed with his druid heritage. Send him something to play against that weakness, something that would confuse and frustrate him. Send him the Four Horsemen. And the girl. Ren Elessadil had lost her protector and advisor. Give her someone to fill that void. Give her one of his own choosing. One who would soothe and comfort her, who would ease her fears, then betray her and strip her of everything. The others were no serious threat, not even the leader of the Freeborn and the Highlander. They could do nothing without the Ohmsford heirs. If the Dark Uncle was imprisoned in his keep, and the Elf Queen's brief reign ended, the Druid Shade's carefully constructed plans would collapse about him. Alanon would sink back into the Hadeshorn with the rest of his ghost kin, consigned to the past where he belonged. Yes, the others were insignificant. But he would deal with them anyway. And even if all his efforts failed, even if he could do nothing more than chase them about, harry them as a dog would its prey, still that would be sufficient if in the end Par Ohmsford's soul fell to him. He needed only that to put an end to all of the hopes of his enemies. Only that. It was a short walk to the precipice, and the Veil Man was already moving toward it. His brother would be the staked goat that would bring him, that would draw him, like a wolf at hunt. Col Ohmsford was deep under the spell of the mirror shroud by now, a slave to the magic from which the cloak was formed. He had stolen it to disguise himself, never guessing that Rimadal had intended as much, never suspecting that it was a deadly snare to turn him to the First Seeker's own grim purpose. Col Ohmsford would hunt his brother down and force a confrontation. He would do so because the cloak would let him do nothing less, settling a madness within him that only his brother's death could assuage. Power would be forced to fight, and because he lacked the magic of the Sword of Shannara, because his conventional weapons would not be enough to stop the Shadowen kind his brother had become, and because he would be terrified that this was yet another trick, he would use the Wish Song's magic. Perhaps he would kill his own brother, but this time, kill him in truth, and then discover, when it was too late to change things back, what he had done. And perhaps not. Perhaps he would let his brother escape, and be led to his doom. The First Seeker shrugged. Either way, the result would be the same. Either way, the Veil Man was finished. Use of the magic and the series of shocks that would surely result from doing so would unbalance him. It would free the magic from his control and let him become Rimadal's tool. Rimadal was certain of it. He could be so because, unlike the
sample complete. Ready to continue?